Well, good afternoon on this Monday, March 2nd. Beautiful day here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Sun shining, clearing off a lot of the snow that's been laying around. We're grateful to be able to come to you over the WSOF FM radio airwaves and over the airwaves there at WAJJ 89.3 FM in McKenzie, Tennessee. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. We're grateful and thankful that you've tuned in and that we're able to be able to bring this broadcast to you every weekday at this same time. Hope you'll be tuning in throughout the week and throughout the weeks to come, and that you'll be blessed, and we'll be thankful that you have tuned in and have been helped by the Word of God. Well, let me say, I appreciate those that have written. We've received a number of letters from people, and I know they've received calls here at the radio, people saying that they do listen to this afternoon broadcast and that they are blessed, and we hope and pray that continues on, whether we hear from you or not. We hope and pray that people are blessed and helped by the Word of God. I'm telling you, we've got a good God that's not only good enough to give us salvation, not only gave us His Son, but He gave us the Scriptures that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've been preaching on the home here for a number of weeks, and we're about to wind her down. We'll finish it up this week, Lord willing, on the broadcast, and then move on to another subject, look at something else in the Scriptures. But while we're looking at this, we're thinking about the homes and thinking about the great need in our day. I'm telling you, homes are in a mess, and we're needing help. But I'm glad we've got the Word of God, the King James Bible, not only inspired, but preserved, amen, for us, that we can understand it in a language we can understand, amen, and that we can still obtain it and read it and use it. But I'm going to tell you something about the King James Bible. As precious as it is and as powerful as it does very little good just sitting on a shelf somewhere. Amen. Does very little good just laid up on the dash of your car or in the back window of your car or left on the pew of your church. Amen. Does very little good. I'm telling you, when it does the most good is when you open the pages, you read the words, you not only allow them to go into the eye gate or in through the ear gate, but you allow them to get into your heart and into your life, and you allow them to work, amen, for the glory of God, and you put His words into actions. Here's what our Lord said. Our Lord said that a man is a foolish man if he hears the words of God and doeth them not. Amen. But He said a man's a wise man and builds his house on the rock if he'll hear these sayings of mine, is what our Lord said, and will do them. Amen. Not be a hearer only, but a doer of the Word of God. Amen and amen. So we hope you'll be listening to the Word of God and we'll be helped by it. I'm glad God gave us His Word that we can grow by the reading of the Word of God and through the preaching of the Word of God. Thank God for preachers. God's still calling preachers. God's still using them to send forth the light and the truth of His Word. Amen. God's still using them to sound forth the wonderful sounds of faith. We're grateful and thankful for that. Well, let me take just a moment and invite you to come and be with us this Wednesday night, Lord willing, weather permitting. We'll be meeting here at 1415 Island Ford Road at the Island Ford Baptist Church here in Madisonville, Kentucky. We'd love to have you come be with us there about 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. We'll gather in. We'll have some prayer time, prayer around the altar possibly, and gather in and hear from the Word of God, hear good songs, hymns, and spiritual songs that will be sung here in the church by the congregation. Perhaps sometimes we'll have the choir sing. We'll have specials. And then we'll also have prayer requests and a prayer time and preaching from the old King James Bible. Amen and amen. Well, let's move right on in the service. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time and then get our scripture reading. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, grace, and mercy bestowed upon us. I want to thank You, Father, for salvation, that You found me lost in my sin. Lord, You found me there in my filth, and You cleansed me. You washed me. You sanctified me. You justified me. You purified me. Amen. Lord, I want to thank You that You brought me up out of that miry clay, and You set my feet on a solid rock and established my goings. Lord, there's nothing that I can say that I did, but it's all by the hand and the help of the Lord. And I want to thank You for saving me. I want to thank You, Lord, for for giving me a good home and a good family. I thank you, Lord, for my wife. I thank you for the church here at Island Ford, the way they've made us feel at home, made us welcomed. And, Lord, they're part of us now. And I want to thank you, Lord, for that. I do want to thank you, Lord, right now for helping Brother Steve Ford as he went into the hospital yesterday with chest pains and problems there. And then today had the heart catheterization and then immediately went in and put stents in. And Lord, I want to thank you that he came through well. And when we saw him just a few moments ago, he was doing well. And Lord, we're grateful and thankful for that. And pray, dear God, you'd give him grace and bless him and help him recover. And Lord, you just get glory and honor. Help the family there as they come and go. It was a large number there in the waiting room. And Lord, I want to thank you that they were there being support for him, prayer support, moral support, and just family support there. We thank you, Lord, for that. And I pray you'd meet their needs. I do pray for Brother Hall, Mrs. Hall. Lord, they're going to Florida on a little vacation there. And Brother Hall was not feeling well the last couple of nights. And I understand that he was waiting to hear from his doctor today. And Lord, I pray you'd help about those things. That Lord, you'd guide, direct, bless, and meet their needs and use them, Lord, for your glory. Lord, I pray for my son Daniel. Had his home burned last week on Wednesday night. Was supposed to meet with the insurance adjuster today and did. And they said it'd take him a couple of weeks to get back word to him on what they're going to do. Lord, I pray help him and his fiancée, Leanne, there. Lord, I pray that you'd help as they plan for marriage on July the 4th. Lord, you'd be with them, meet their needs, and help them there. I pray for my little granddaughter, Aria. Lord, she's been up sick all night. Got an upset stomach and that bug, I guess, or whatever. She had it on Friday. And then they said was better on Saturday and Sunday. Then last night, started up again and all day today. Lord, I pray be with little Aria. Touch her. She'll be 3 this Sunday. Father, I pray bless her. Help her to be well. I pray help her mother, Hannah, our daughter, and her dad, Drew. Lord, be with them, meet their needs, but help Hannah. She carries that child that's in her womb. Lord, I pray bless there again and have your way. And I thank you for it. And Lord, you get the glory. Lord, now I pray you take these words and this broadcast and use it for your glory and your honor. Accomplish that word until you've sent it. Draw some sinner. Lord, rescue some marriage. Mend some home, Lord, I pray. And you get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we're going to be turning in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 5. And I'm going to be reading the last verse, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 33. But before we do that, we're going to go to a song here by our family that I hope might be a blessing to your heart. Amen, amen. Well, I hope that song was a blessing to you, and I am glad that farther on, things are going to get better for the child of God. Amen. And amen. Well, while that song was playing, I actually got a text from my daughter saying that they had taken my granddaughter to the doctor. I knew they were taking her, and I were concerned about that she might be dehydrated. And they did the test, said she was not yet dehydrated. They gave her some medication and did say it was looked like a virus that could last up to 7 days. And so if you will pray for her there concerning that, but glad the good news that she's not dehydrated and they got it under control. So we'll pray that God continue to bless and help meet the need there. All right. I'm looking in my Bible at Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 33. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now, I'm preaching on the duties of husbands and wives. We actually started this series on Monday, December the 29th. We were gone a couple of weeks, and so played some broadcasts in there that took up our time, I guess you'd say. And so we've not been on this entire length of time, but a little better than 2 months. We've been looking at the duties of husbands and wives. 3 chapters in that, if I could say it that way, that we've looked at. We've looked at the duties that they share together. The duties that they, we call the duties of both spouses alike. And then I went on to looking at the special duty of the husband and then the special duty of the wife. Now, let me just, and I'll get to the fourth one is what we're starting today. I'll get to that in a moment. But I do want to mention that when I'm given these duties, the context of the scripture is talking about the spirit-filled life. And I believe that every child of God ought to desire to be spirit-filled, ought to long to be used of God in that spirit-filled mode. Amen. And that spirit-filled life does not revolve entirely around the church. What I'm saying is, you'll not just be living for God at church, but you'll be living for God at home. And I believe one of the greatest areas that it will show up will be in the home. One of the greatest needed areas, one of the greatest mission fields in our world today is in the home of church members. People that sit on the pew and say amen when they're sitting on the pew, but their life at home does not say amen to the preaching. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about people that go to church and sing the songs of Zion at the church, but they're not singing the songs of Zion back home. And they've got a double standard, and their children grow up confused, and the children come up really feeling hypocritical and seeing the hypocrisy of a lot of that, and it causes a lot of problems and situations there. And I'm trying to encourage you to be spirit-filled in your entire life. Amen. And be walking in the Spirit and giving glory to God. Well, the spirit-filled husband loves his wife. The Bible says that is his primary duty. That is his particular duty, to love his wife even as himself. And then the particular duty of the wife is to reverence her husband. We might today would call that respecting her husband. Amen. Now, this is chapter 4, the fourth section of this. And I want to talk today and through this week on how to accomplish these duties. You see, in the previous things that I've covered, I've attempted to lay out the corporate duties of husbands and wives, and then their separate duties as well. But this chapter, or this area of it, is different. In this chapter, we're going to deal with, I'm going to set forth six suggestions that I believe will be helpful in performing the duties that each of us have in the role of a spouse. Now, my first suggestion would be that I would suggest that you keep yourself pure before marriage. Amen. Now, I'm putting this in bold letters. Keep yourself pure before marriage. You see, when you get married, you're going to have to keep yourself pure. You make that vow that you're going to give yourself to him and to him only so long as you both shall live. Or he'll give himself to her and to her only so long as you both shall live. Well, I'm going to tell you that if you've lived a life that is profligate, you've lived a life that is promiscuous, you've lived a life that has just been out there sampling and dabbling in the world, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a hard time taming those unruly lusts. You're going to have a hard time dealing with those desires and those doors. I'll just say it this way. Doors that you have opened that should have never been opened. Amen? Now, here's what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 4, the last little phrase says this. Know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. He's saying that every Christian should know how to do that. Every Christian, every person should know how to contain themselves. Amen. I know we're living in a world of indulgence. I recognize we're living in a world that says, you know, if it feels good, do it. They say, you know, if the desire's there, go ahead. Even some people say it, they try to rule it and rationalize it this way. They said, well, you might as well do it if you think it. Or you might as well do it if you desire to. Listen, I'm telling you, there are some thoughts that you don't need to entertain, and you need to push aside and put down. You need to bring into captivity those thoughts. Amen. The Scripture talks about bringing into captivity every thought, and that's talking about arresting those thoughts, stopping them from having liberty to run through your mind at will. Amen. And so there's some things you need to stop those thoughts. Amen. And you need to stop those feelings. And if you do have those feelings and thoughts and desires, I'm telling you, you need to deal with those things. Amen. And you can ask God to do that. God can, amen, God can curb your appetites, amen, for the things of the world. God can give you a different appetite. God can change your desires, amen. If you will delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And I believe the key there is that he changes the desires of your heart, and you're not desiring to live like some kind of a hoodlum, or you're not desiring to live like some kind of a rogue and a worldly. Amen. But you want to live like Christ. You want to live like a Christian. Amen. So I'm saying, listen to me, young people in particular, you better not develop a taste for inordinate sexual activity. You had better never develop a taste for that wicked, lascivious, licentious lifestyle. Amen. In other words, you ought to ask God to keep your mind pure, keep your mouth pure, keep your heart pure. Amen. Keep your life pure. And if you'll do that, it will keep you from other things. You see, when people indulge in this sinful lifestyle that so many are, by the way, this dating and courting and petting and touching and kissing and all that goes along with that, they open doors, as I said a moment ago, that should have never been opened, and they light fires that never should have been kindled. Amen. And it leads to other sins. Many times, the person who is a fornicator before marriage continues his or her sin after the marriage. Amen. Many times, those that have given over to that loose living continue that even after they make vows that they'll stop it. Even after they make plans to stop it. I'm telling you, don't ever get going down that road. And listen to me. I realize I'm preaching to people that may have already opened those doors, that may have already allowed those thoughts, that you already know more than you need to know, and you've not yet even been married. I'm going to tell you what you better do. You better ask God for grace. You better ask God to tame you now. Don't keep feeding the flesh. Don't keep stoking the fire. Because if you do, you're going to have problems down the road. Mark my words, you will have problems down the road if you keep feeding the flesh and stoking the fires of the flesh. Amen. I say this, beware of lust's first beginnings and flee it like a poison. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 18 says this, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Are you listening to me? The Bible says other sins do not affect you in the same way that this sin of fornication does. And you might say, preacher, I don't understand. I thought drinking alcohol might sin against my body because it gives me cirrhosis of the liver. That is true. It does give you cirrhosis of the liver. It does kill brain cells. I understand that. Somebody said it does not make Bud wiser. It makes Bud dumber. And that's truth. That's what alcohol does. Somebody might say, well, I thought smoking cigarettes might harm my body and it might cause me to have problems, and it does, by the way. It hurts your lungs, it hurts your blood system, it hurts so many things about you. I understand that, and in those ways, you might say it is a sin against your body, but the Bible said that the sin of fornication is different from all other sins. Every other sin, he says, is without the body. In other words, you're not using the body and indulging the body in those things that these sexual appetites do. Are you listening? There are people that they open that door and they're never satisfied with that door being closed. My point is this. Listen, we're living in a day when women and men have tasted of things they never should have tasted of, and then they get married and they don't like having things curbed. They don't like having things shortened or hindered and their ways closed in. No, they want an open lifestyle. They want an open marriage. They want an open, moving along in other areas. They want to be able to keep dating and having other partners, as you might say. I'm telling you, the Bible calls that wicked, that is perverted, that is ungodly. Amen. And we've allowed our day to open those doors for many young people, and we've told them it's all right when the King James Bible says that it is not all right. My Bible still says that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's what the Bible says. I'm telling you, when you open the door to those sins, you're inviting the judgment and the wrath of God on your life. Amen. And whether or not you ever get one of those diseases that you can't get rid of, whether or not you ever have those problems there that are physical problems that many people have now, many people have, because of their impropriety and their impurity in their earlier days. But even if you don't catch one of those terrible diseases, I tell you what you do. you have problems that introduces into your life that you never would have had before. You ought to keep your heart filled with the things of God. Amen. Keep your body busy in Christian activity. Amen. And then you won't give it over to lust and to sin. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I'm saying to you, young person, listen, surround yourself with godly young people. And if you can't find godly young people, find some godly older people. But surround your life with people that's going to serve God, planning to serve God, amen, and living a life that's not talking about, thinking about, and discussing immoral things, amen. You see, the largest fires, the greatest fires, many times began with just a spark. And momentary pleasure that many times precedes eternal torment. Amen. If you have sinned in this way, you ought to cleanse your heart and your hands with the blood of Christ by confessing your faults to God, by fasting and prayer, asking Him to forgive you, and asking Him for strength against future temptations. Amen. Listen, get a taste of the more ravishing delights of God's favor and God's promises. Get a taste of God's pardon for sin. Amen. Get a taste of the assurance of life and the assurance of immortality. And it'll keep you away from immorality. Amen. Once you have drunk from the pure stream of God, amen, the pure spring of God, you will prefer that above any other muddy stream. Amen. Psalms 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. I'm telling you, feed on the Word of God and you'll not be feeding the flesh. You'll feed the spiritual man. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, one of the greatest areas, the greatest ways you can keep from having marital problems is to keep yourself pure even before the marriage. Well, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd. I've run out of time, but I do appreciate you tuning in today. Tune in at the same time tomorrow, and may God bless you.